holler at you later.
Love Talk Radio.
Same track, like from the ground, sub on. Give me support of that for.
Moment that is bound to shape the future.
I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it. They telling me to get it. It said that the message I was bringing brought destruction. I put the pants in the bag and said, fuck them. Here's a land that never gave a damn about a brother like me from the jump. They'd rather see me slumped, face down, shot 5 or 6 times with my kid and a mama in the cop car brown. And I'm done. Stop lying. It's a black and white thing. Redneck ass judge. I'd rather watch a nigga hang than indict what's white, not right. Fuck a news feed. Black man got the same needs as the Jews need. Who me? I demand reparations. Fuck a cowboy. I'm a native robbed of my nation. I'm an African. Black man. Fuck out my language. Got me praying to a white boy God. That's insane. And if you ask me why they steadily harass me, I reply with that these motherfuckers nasty. And I'm a god, yet they calling me a nigga. They scared of me, so they try to hide behind the trigger, acting badass. Fuck a honky with the badge. I'm a nigga with an attitude. You can kiss my black ass. Ain't no sense in niggas being diplomatic. Televise the revolution. Let these motherfuckers have it. I'm calling up the homies. They scared to come through. And I run with the niggas. They scared to come shoot. Take an eye for an eye. Take a tooth for tooth. Do unto others as them others would do unto you. And now they say it make America great. But what America hates kept America straight and America safe. Motherfuck that flag. My people are not free. We wanna touch that flag. So quick to try to copyright what came for free. Now they blaming me. And it's plain to see that they mad at that. Like I'm a magic act. Yeah, imagine that. Motherfucker, I'm black fucking soldiers. Super quick to steal one culture. Trying to make it your own. Caveman, go home. Over 10 long nose, funny looking ass Donald. Got his nerve disrespecting President Obama. If you don't want us around, then let us leave. Pay the money you've been owing my people since they were set free. That 40 acres and a mule never came again. We're still outstanding, outstanding in the rain. Just waiting, pacing, pacing, and praying for God to step up. But now it ain't shit shaking. I was mistaken thinking scripture could have helped us. Following the faith of our very own oppressors. No justice, just us. Look at how the aftermath of slavery today still affects us. Our kids educated by the enemy. And they don't know shit about their history. Cause they ain't teaching that in school. Leave it up to them coons. And all that's cool. Let the bygones be bygones. And besides, we've been killing off our homes. Shut the fuck up, you know what? Uncle Tom, house niggas, slaves, see they motherfucking nuts cut. I pack steel in the hour of the chaos. If black lives still don't matter till you stay out.
It started in slave ships, you know.
Slave ships. There are more records of slave ships than one would dream. It seems inconceivable. Until you reflect that for 200 years, ships sailed carrying cargo and slaves.
Ran, non-violent. In the face of the violence that we've been experiencing for the past 400 years, is actually doing our people a disservice. In fact, it's a crime. It's a crime.
Here come the drums!
Roll over.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, some of us will probably catch it on TV with chicken hanging from our mouths. You'll know it's revolution because there won't be no commercial. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
Preacher pimps are gonna split the scene with the communion wine stuck in their back pockets. Faggots won't be so funny then, and all the junkies will quit their nod and wake up when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, transit cops will be crushed by the trains after losing their guns, and blood will run through the streets of Harlem, drowning anything without substance. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes.
Revolution.
I hope pearly white teeth fall off the mouths that speak of revolution without reference. The course of revolution is 360 degrees. Understand the cycle that never ends. Understand the beginning to be the end, and nothing is in between but space and time that I make or you make to relate or not to relate to the world outside my mind, your mind. Speak not of revolution until you are willing to eat rats to survive. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes, guns and rifles will be taking the place of poems and essays. Black cultural centers will be fought supplying the revolutionaries with food and arms when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, white death will fall off the walls of museums and churches, breaking the lie that enslaved our mothers. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, Jesus Christ is going to be standing on the corner of Lenox Avenue and 125th Street, trying to catch the first gypsy cab out of Harlem. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, Jew merchants will give away matzo balls and gefilte fish to anyone they see with an afro. Frank Shippen will give away the Apollo to the first person he sees wearing a blue dashiki. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
Afros gonna be trying to straighten their heads, and straighten heads gonna be trying to wear afros. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes. When the revolution comes.
When the revolution comes.
But until then, you know and I know niggas will party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit.
Liberation of oppressed people in the United States has to do not with climbing up some ladder to success, not for asking to be just like Rockefeller or just like DuPont or just like Ford, because that would only continue the oppression and exploitation of oppressed people in the United States, and specifically African people born and raised in the United States. Socialism is an integral part of building social justice on this planet. The condition of my people, my history, was very much connected with other oppressed people, and I began to see that they're the same foot that was on the necks of the Vietnamese people, that was on the necks of all oppressed people on the planet, was the same foot that was on my neck. And so I began to understand that imperialism has to go. It is a poison that is killing people all over this world. The priorities of this planet have to be completely changed. And instead of profits, instead of policies that destroy the earth, that destroy the water, that destroy human beings, I believe a policy that protects people, that makes people live in a community, a world community, that's what I believe. That's my basic political commitment.
When we talk about capitalism, who are the capitalists? As if we understand that there are only a few people who own and control the means of production in the society, then we begin to understand that there are a few capitalists. And these capitalists exploit everybody because everybody works for them. Everybody sells their labor to them. It is by selling your labor to a capitalist that he's really able to exploit you. Instead of going through theories, let me give some direct example. Let's say that I'm a capitalist. And let's say that I sell shirts. I sell shirts. I sell shirts. I have a shirt factory. Let's say this is my factory. I own it. The machinery. I have a place where I get cotton. Now, I own it. I'm the capitalist. And let's say you are my workers. You are my workers. You don't know me. You never see me. You see my lackeys, you know, maybe my foreman, but you never see me. Now, let's say it costs me 50 cents for cotton for every shirt I make. And let's say it costs me 50 cents for upkeep of my machinery. That's a dollar. And let's suppose I pay you a dollar for every shirt you make. That means it costs me $2 to get a shirt, labor included, your labor. I pay you for making the shirt. Now, when I sell the shirt, being a capitalist, and you must know something about capitalism, very important, the sole motivating force, the sole motivating force in a capitalist society is profit. Profit. That is the sole motivating force. Profit. Get money. Get it. Get it as fast as you can. Get it any way you can, but get it. Just get it. Just get it. And even in, you know, in the African community, this it affects us here in this country because Africans, those of us living in America, those of us born in America, we are imbued with the philosophy of capitalism, and sometimes we don't even recognize it. Thus, you find brothers and sisters even selling dope to their brothers and sisters to make money. Again, because we're imbued with the philosophy of get some money. Ain't nothing wrong to kill for money. Hell, your country is napalming for money. You can certainly kill for some money. All right, just get it. Just get it. It's the overall philosophy. When we talk about revolution, we must talk about changing values. We must talk about changing values, and we must understand these values. To the shirt factory. I've not forgotten. I'm just going to tie it in. I'll tie it in for you. I'll tie it in. You will see, you must look under the shirt factory, too. You must look for spiraling economy. That's very important, spiraling economy. I sell the shirt for $5. I sell the shirt for $5. I don't do anything. You're the one who makes the shirt. I'm exploiting your labor. You toil, you sweat, I get the fruit. That's right, I get it. But you grow it, you plant it by the sweat of your brow. I get it. I sell the shirt for $5. I am exploiting your labor. I really am exploiting your labor. I mean, even when you want a shirt, hey, you got to come to my store and buy the shirt for $5. Hey, I really am exploiting you. Now, you're workers, you're in a factory, so you begin to get social consciousness. Yes, you do. Marx talks about this. Because you're working together, you see the socialized process, the laboring process, and you're able to see clearly how you're being exploited. So you get together, and you start talking about, we want more money. You tell my foreman we want more money. So the foreman comes to see me. He says, the workers say they want more money. Later for them. Keep them working, man. So he comes back, no raise. They all work, but you all get a little bit more agitated, you know, because it's scientific. The pressure rises, and as the pressure rises, the consciousness must rise. It's scientific. It can't be stopped. That's why revolution can't be stopped. Then you say, hey, look here. We're going to strike. So the foreman comes back and says, hey, they say they're going to strike. I say, oh, let them strike, man. And sure enough, you all strike. Yeah, y'all strike on me. Now, when you strike, of course, my machinery stops. I ain't making no money. So after a while, I call my foreman. I said, what do they want? He says, well, they said they want $1.50 more a shirt. They want 50 cents more a shirt. So I said, okay, let them have it. So I'll bring you back. You happy? I pay you $1.50 more. Right. So it now costs me $2.50 to make a shirt. It costs me $2.50 to make a shirt. Before, it cost me $2. I was selling it for $5. But hey, look here. I can't go out there and keep selling it for $5. Hey, how am I going to do that? I'm going to lose profit. And look here. Since the sole motivating force in a capitalist system is profit, ain't no need for me to come and sell it for $5.50. Hey, no. Next time you see that shirt on the market, it's going to cost you $7.50. Right. Right. And that's what's known as the spiraling economy, because profit is what about wages go up at the demands of the workers and prices rocket. Wages go up, prices rocket. And it keeps going and going and going until it's got to blow the top. It's scientifically real. That's why Nixon is talking about freezing wages and freezing prices. He's stupid. You got to freeze capitalism, Nixon. Freeze capitalism. That's the problem. That's the problem. We must understand these concepts, because once you begin to understand them and master them, you will see the inevitability of revolution. Not only the inevitability of revolution, but you will see the inevitability of victory for the struggling masses around the world once you understand the scientific principles of revolution. Once you understand it.
The Black Panther Party, that they can do anything they want to us. We might not be back. I might be in jail. I might be anywhere. But when I leave, you can remember I said with the last words on my lips that I am a revolutionary. And you're going to have to keep on saying that. You're going to have to say that I am a proletariat. I am the people. I'm not the pig. You've got to make a distinction. And the people are going to have to attack the pig. The people are going to have to stand up against the pig. That's what the pastors are doing. That's what the pastors are doing all over the world.
As I get a little older, I realize life is perspective. And my perspective may differ from yours. I want to say thank you to everyone that's been down with me. All my fans, all my beautiful fans. Anyone who's ever gave me a listen. All my people.
I come from a generation of pain where murder is minor. Rebellious and more jealous, a chip you for designer. Belt buckles and cloud over zealous and prone to violence. Make the wrong turn, be your will of the will alignment. Residue burn, misled in the inner city. Miscommunication to keep homo detector busy. No protection is risky, desensitized. I vandalize pain, covered up and camouflage. Get used to hearing arsenal rain. Analyze, risk your life, take the charge. Homies, don't fuck your baby mama once you hit the yard. That's culture, 23-hour lockdown. Then somebody calls that your little nephew was shot down. The culture involved. I done seen niggas do 17, hit the halfway house, get out and get his brains blown out, looking to buy some weed, car washes played out, new GoFundMe accounts to proceed, a brand new victim, a shatter those dreams, the culture. To let y'all know what a nigga look like in a bulletproof rover. In my mama's sofa was a doodle popper. Hair trigger, walk up closer. Ain't no photoshopping. Friends bipolar, grab you by your pocket. No option if you froze up. I always play the offense. Niggas going to work and selling work, late for work. Working late, praying for work, but he on paperwork. That's the culture, point the finger, promote ya. Remote location, witness protection, they gon' hold ya. The streets got me fucked up, y'all can miss me. I wanna represent for us. New revolution was up and moving. I'm in Argentina wiping my tears, full of confusion. Water in between us, another peer's been executed. History repeats again, make amends and find a nigga with the same skin to do it. But that's the culture, crack a bottle. Hard to deal with the pain, we are sober. By tomorrow, we forget the remains, we start over. That's the problem, our foundation was trained to accept whatever follows. Dehumanized, insensitive, scrutinized, the way we live for you and I. Enemy shook my hand, I can promise I'll meet you. In a land where no equal is your equal, never say I ain't told ya. Nah, in a land where hurt people hurt more people, fuck calling it culture. Celebrate new life when it come back around. The purpose is in the lessons we learning now. Sacrifice personal gain over everything just to see the next generation better than ours. I wasn't perfect, the skin I was in that truly suffered. Temptation and patience, everything that the body nurtures. I felt the good, I felt the bad, and I felt the worry. But all in all, my productivity has stayed urgent. Face your fears, always knew that I would make it here. Where the energy is magnified and persevered. Consciousness is synchronized and crystal clear. Euphoria is glorified and made his. Reflecting on my life and what I done. Paid dues, made rules change out of love. The same views made schools change curriculums. But didn't change me staring down the barrel of that gun. Should I feel resentful, I didn't see my full potential? Should I feel regret about the good that I was into? Everything is everything, this ain't coincidental. I woke up that morning with more heart to give you. As I bleed through the speakers, feel my presence. To my brother, to my kids, I'm in heaven. To my mother, to my sis, I'm in heaven. To my father, to my wife, I'm serious, this is heaven. To my friends, make sure you count them blessings. To my fans, make sure you make them investments. And to the killer that spared up my demise, I forgive you, just know your soul's in question. I seen the pain in your pupil when that trigger had squeezed. And though you did me gruesome, I was surely relieved. I completed my mission, wasn't ready to leave, but fulfilled my days, my creator was pleased. I can't stress how I love y'all. I don't need to be in flesh just to hug y'all. The memories recollect just because y'all. Celebrate me with respect, the unity we protect is above all. And Sam, I be watching over you. Make sure my kids watch all my interviews. Make sure you live out our dreams we produce. Keep that genius in your brain on the move. And to my neighborhood, let the good prevail. Make sure them babies and the leaders out of jail. Live for salvation when troubles get real. Cause you can't help the world until you help yourself. And I can't blame the hood the day that I was killed. You had to see it, that's the only way to feel. And though my physical won't reap the benefits, the energy they carry on admit still, I want you.
I'm called Professor X, the Overseer. In the early 1900s, a brother set out on voyage. His mission, black nationalism. His oath, freedom or death. In the 60s, brothers like Stokely Carmichael, H. Rat Brown. The mission, black nationalism. The oath, freedom or death. In the 90s, the mission, black nationalism. The messengers. X-Clan, the movement, Black Watch, the oath, freedom, or death. By the way,
freedom or death, you shall all be moved. Vanglory, this is protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the key city. Abracadabra, a la baby professor, all hail funky lesson, sweet tongue grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist, live in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a logical, mythological. They couldn't comprehend when I brought the word, a sick called verb, a black steel nerve, teaching those actors and actresses who write a couple lines on what black is. Really? Then they label me a sin when a brother just speaks what's within. I guess I'm blacker in the shadow in the darkest alley that they're always scared to go in. Boo! I wear boots and beads, bags and braids, stick and scroll, raise the shade, walk in the light of the moon, but I've never been a Batman. African, call it black man. Brother, extract the African steps in your movement. Enhance for improvement. Grand funk, a new home for the phrase. Funk and lesson, the pathway.
Ready or not, here we come. Getting down on
this. I exist on a plane where the jar is my brain. I'm living to retrieve cells and ten on my stick. Pitch a bigger native liquor figure. The boom of the trigger goes doom, not boom. Not a bunch of sissies, but saviors braver. The red, black, and green is just so much more than red, black, and green. You ask what I mean, but yet the sundial shades and lights a dream. Why too late? Oops, upside your head. You drop through a bit like lead. Where you going? What's your speed? What's your pleasure? What's your need? Trees and branches, roots and seeds. Forward, backward, many degrees. Questions, answers, what's the sum? We have come. Out of the darkness and panther skin comes doctors, driving pink caddies, bearing the remedy to your existence. Yes, it gets blacker with a Nat Turner lick. Martin, Adam, Malcolm, Huey, there's a party at the crossroads.
For the glitch, but you know, I just wanted to just make that known, you know. Of course, Public Enemy, that song War 33 and the Third, some of Chuck D's most fiery lyrics, and he said a whole lot in the, you know, for such a short song, and the person that you can hear talking as Minister Louis Farrakhan, leader of Nation of Islam. And it was telling it like it was and putting things in perspective, you know, about history and understanding, you know. Don't teach them about science and, you know, all the different arts and sciences, because in essence, you know, they'll begin to think or have the mind, you know, just like the persons who ruling over them, you know, the Europeans, you know, exposing them to things that they're not used to, which would change the balance of power, you know, a reclamation of the self with black people in this country. It's been said in other parts of the world that the key to the international struggle, the liberation struggle, is the black people in America. You know, that if the black people in America started it, then that it cleared a way for other black and brown people around the world, and they'll finish it. And this has been, you know, said to you know, a certain segment of our elders that fled the country. You know, they were targeted by the FBI and then, of course, later the CIA. You know, the government killed campaign to neutralize radicals and militants who can pretty much raise the consciousness of the people, the masses. And they were received overseas in countries like Algeria, China, Cuba, you know, even Vietnam, you know, where black and brown people had been struggling against international white supremacists. And so part of that is to control the educational system, you know, that we, those of us who have now become politically conscious, politicized, as politicized revolutionaries, that we've renamed due to the relationship as the miseducation, as the public fool system, where the public fool system is crucial, you know, making fools of us, making fools out of us by the garbage that they've been teaching since they established this, you know, their schooling system, which based off of what is known as the German model, something that came out of the mid-18th century. You know, at one point, the Germans were European leaders in mind shaping or intellect or whatever, academics and stuff. So it's a historical lex. These names that we've been labeled with, for instance, you know, Caucasian, Ethiopian, Mongolian, you know, those names, Malaysian, American Indian, categorizing the people of the earth into specific categories by one Johann Blumenbach, who is German. And he figured he set to the task of categorizing the so-called different races. And when it was all said and done, when he, you know, drew the conclusion as which group was a superior group, he said that it was the Caucasians. And so it was rather incredible that, you know, he would choose the Caucasians. What I mean by that is they had been the last ones to actually become civilized, you know, to actually somewhat, you know, from total barbarism. And so it wouldn't make any sense that the group that he said was the least, in a sense, was the Ethiopian, and that the historical track record, you know, we walk back in time. The more you go back in time, the blacker history gets. I remember these terminologies, these splitting words into syllables, and started learning two words, the word history and the word mystery. You know, we look at that word, some of us, somebody was brilliant enough to take the word history and say, what if we stuck another S where the other S is, where the T at in the middle of the tongue, and it would become two words, his story, meaning somebody else has been giving us his story of ancient times and ancient civilizations and whatnot. On the other hand, when that same individual, of course, the so-called white man, began to establish what is known as the science of archaeology, anthropology, basically meaning going down the world in different parts of the world and digging up shit, you know, finding old ancient monument. Well, they didn't have to look too hard in Africa, you know, because it was standing up to the sky, you know, these things called pyramids. So in other parts of the world, some of these islands or what have you, like the Pacific, even a place called Europe that we know of today, were monuments, you know, big, huge, incredibly huge stones that if tipped over could actually smash a house to pieces, you know. And the baffled archaeologists trying to figure out, let alone the mathematics and the science in it that deals with the astronomical foundation of the monument. So whenever the person who was giving us his story, his version of our history, whenever he wasn't sure that it was his kind that was responsible, he placed the word mystery on it. You know, became a mystery. So they went all around the world, and most of the times they end up classifying these monuments as a mystery. You know, the mysterious people who built Stonehenge. We're gonna get into that. We'll walk back in time, you know, ancient style. You know, the mysterious stone faces in Easter Island lined up, you know, facing a particular direction off into the Pacific Ocean, the mysterious stone figures and whatnot. You know, so like I say, the word mystery. So we come to figure out after so long that this word mystery, what if we took the E out of the word mystery and put an O there, and it would become two terms, my story. And so that's the conclusions that we reached with those two terms, history and mystery. And so it sparked a lot of our minds in the 80s, you know, in the 90s particularly. And we began to read, accumulate knowledge and consume books. Some books that were written, few in terms of the conditions of coming out of physical slavery. And there was these laws called the Black Codes, which in essence meant that no black people was allowed to read any books, any literature for the fear thereof, like certain parts of the Bible. You know, so that it can control the reading capabilities of African people. And, you know, we here today, and, you know, we on the surface, you know, we can't, we're not going to say we can't, but we just missed the boat, and rightfully so. But we fail to really think about this so-called high racial illiteracy in the so-called black community and fail to connect the dots. You know, we believe the People's Political Party is the point of origin for everything, for everything. You know, the Easter Bunny, the frog, we know that frogs don't give birth to frogs, that there's a metamorphosis that takes place with tadpoles, and through the phenomenon of with the Europeans like to refer to as evolution. And they've had a battle with the church. Rationalism as opposed to empiricism. These terminologies that they use in the academic world. And of course, these apply to the social conditions today. But, you know, they had these problems trying to figure out certain things. And so all around the world, as I said, they find and shit. And Charles Darwin, this white boy, wrote a book called The Origin of Species. He had surmised, to use one of their terms, he surmised that when it came down to man, that in this society, supposed to be a Christian society in general, which means, of course, the Bible. And so everybody knows who Adam is, you know, Adam and Eve, and, you know, in the garden and all that kind of stuff, and that God made Adam the first man. And I'm going to disclose some things that may grab some people in maybe a particular way. But Darwin was feeling some kind of thing, decided to look into it, and after so long, he's a dangerous man, by the way, in terms of ideology that is derived from him, referred to as social Darwinism, that the Europeans have been practicing, which means that at the expense of non-whites. But anyway, Darwin, he drew the conclusion after sizing up the different populations and whatever, through research, reports, what have you, and that he surmised that humanity began in Africa. That should it be found, it would prove him right, that was the place. And so people began to embrace it. This is like in the 50s, 60s, 70s up in there, you know, at the time that their sciences were beginning to really take off. And so come to find that there's human skeletons, these old ancient fossils found. Proved Darwin's theory right. And so now today, much more than ever, of course, especially now as a result of this science and technology, they've been on the path ever since. And the more scientific and the more technologically inclined they become, the more they apply it to research and archaeology, anthropology, what have you. Certain people that be in control of that type of information, that type of knowledge, can control which way people are going to think and believe about those times. And so there's been numerous human skeletons found in Africa, the oldest, Ethiopia, southern Africa, you know, in and around what is referred to today as the Great Lakes region. And there's this theory, this belief, which appears to have much merit to it, where there's water, there's life, a law of nature, science. And the tadpoles proved that you can literally have a container of water outside, you know, in your backyard, or, you know, sometimes, you know, people believe in buckets, in their backyard or whatever, and it rain in the water, you know, getting the bucket and it stays there. And the water transforms certain physical elements. Go hand in glove, like perfect science. And so you come back, you know, and you see your little things swimming around in there, moving around, you know, and transforms into something else. And so this is the evolution of the tadpole to the frog. So this is the type of stuff that the church began to develop problems when it came to God's creation of that. And so this debate, this ongoing thing between real, you know, the rationalist thought, empiricism and whatnot, one opposed to the other, science verifying all, of course, the Bible is the rock. The Bible don't lie. First five books of the Bible, my understanding, coming up with that, they were written by Moses. And so Moses knew the history of God's creation of the first man. So that be the case. All around the world, Africa, of course, and, you know, these laws, some law called Glocker's Law. Like, we needed some white man whose last name is Glocker to tell us that in the heated tropical environment, the hotter it is, the darker the pigment. You know, like we needed, you know, some dude named Glocker to tell us that. Well, the Europeans needed that. The Europeans needed that in order to deal with it. So the original man was a black man. If you come from a biblical perspective, then the humanity began in Africa as the human skeletons go back to 2 million years. And there's this thing with these terminologies that they use. You know, ape man, you know, fully upright, anatomically walking, man, homo sapien, you know, pre-homo sapien, and all these terms that they get, you know, australopithecine. It's a whole gang of terms, and these terms have Greek and German etymologies, you know, so they apply these terms. And even that, the type of racism that came from it, where the European had to get some type of closure after realizing and coming to the heart, core understanding, an uncomfortable one, that he's just a baby. His existence on this planet is just, it's been a few picks compared to ours, the original man, rather, being, ours, matter of fact. You know, 3, 4, 5 hours as compared to 3 minutes, a couple of minutes in time, so to speak. So to get some type of closure, what they did was, is okay, we'll admit the niggas was first. Okay, we'll admit the niggas was first. But two things, the niggas came from apes, and they weren't fully human. And his mental capacity, his brain capacity, smaller brain, his primitiveness, that came with the territory. And the Europeans will say, well, when we came along, then that's when the fully upright, anatomically walking man, upright walking man, 90 degrees to the planet Earth, perpendicular, then when they arrived, then intelligence arrived. You know, the fully intelligent, so this is the history that they paid for themselves, not only for themselves, but historically in the universities, in Germany, France, England, Italy. These are the countries that, you know, spearheaded, you know, the science of archaeology and anthropology. You know, and that is what they did. And so, and of course, you know, we're going to, you know, just prove otherwise. But that is the type of stuff that the Europeans had to resort to deal with the psychological problems of being a Johnny come lately. By the time it come on the planet, civilizations had been there already. And by the time he gained some type of art and science knowledge to build his little Greece, those civilizations were long gone. All remaining was the old ruins. So what they call ancient Greek civilization is really modern compared to the ancient civilizations that had been around 10,000 years before some place called Greece, before this place that we now know as Europe. You know, Europe is a virtually modern invention. There's so much, and I'm going to take my time here and hope I can do a good job, you know, to, and this is part of the, you know, politicizing our people, you know, political education process, the process. You know, the Black Panther Party, one of the 10 points of the Black Panther Party, you know, decent education that tells our story, who we are as a people, where we've been, our contribution to civilization. That's what time it is. And as old saying, if they don't treat you right, then what makes you think they're going to teach you right? And we've had these problems with, you know, the Negro bourgeoisie, the Black petty bourgeoisie, even in some instances. You know, they even try to get them to understand that the European wouldn't preach you right, then what makes you think he's going to teach you right once he lets you integrate his classrooms? You know, this is why many of us believe that we have to open up our own schools, our own institutions, and put in the books that we should know about and understand, such as Civilization and Barbarism, by the great Senegalese multifaceted scholar and learner, Sheikh Anta Diop, who used his degrees to deal with the white supremacist, white racism during his time in the 50s and the 60s, concerning the so-called ancient Egyptians. And so he used his specialty to pretty much make a shambles out of all of these so-called Egyptological authorities on our shit. You know, some European comes along and tell us who our people were. You know, it's amazing. But that is the nature of the educational system, the miseducational system in this country, which has to do its job to keep Black people in the vulnerable conditions that we collectively are in. There's been some of us who went on and into the academic world and have taken the time to study. And of course, I mentioned Sheikh Anta Diop in more modern times, Ivan Van Sertima, Renoko Rashidi. You know, these brothers have written books that will blow people's minds. African presence in early Asia. And again, what is early Asia? You know, you let the Europeans say what early Asia is, then they'll take you back 6,000 years, you know, 4,000 years. To them, that's early. You know, to us, it's just a drop in the bucket. So out of Africa, original people moved out and populated this place. And everywhere you go, everywhere you look, even in their own records, proves the point. What I'm saying is not anything really new. It's just that we wanted to take another walk in time You know, we're just trying to keep it going, keep it alive. You know, for our young people today, our youth, and even some of us who are now 40s and 50s and even 60s never even, you know, got a chance to really learn, you know, due to the material conditions that we face on a daily basis, you know, to survive. You know, some of us, you know, can't afford to go to the library and do diligent research. So there's got to be some of us, those of us who can, we have to share that information, you know. And, of course, it comes with sacrifice. There's no liberation, no freedom through liberation without sacrifices, you know, that are going to have to be made. Anybody who believes that they're fooling themselves or they're somehow attached to or they're fond of the American ideal, you know. But if we take Europe, what is now known as Europe, see what kind of time we're looking at. Okay. So we take Europe and, well, I want to say this too. Like this, like I was talking about this, the science technology. Okay, you know, they're high on this mitochondrial DNA kind of thing, you know, genome, what have you. You know, this thing where a lot of quote-unquote black people are going, having their, you know, mouse or whatever, swab or whatever, you know, their DNA and finding out which tribe they came from, you know, from West Africa, you know. Tracing back one's lineage. So they're using these things, you know, to try to map out who belongs to what, what particular time and whatnot, you know. But the skeletons, the human remains and material that they have in their possession, dealing with Europe, deal with Europe. All these old skulls and skeletons, and as I said, these terminologies. Some of us have heard of this word called the Neanderthal. You know, we've even, like, you know, used this term, like, almost in a, like, slang, like, you know, whatever, like Amazon. Yo, man, she's Amazon, man, she's tall. You know, stuff like that, you know. You know, there's brute. And, of course, National Geographic, these magazines that deal with that type of stuff, disseminating, you know, information. And of course, it's a control mechanism. So they found these ancient skeletons, 200,000-300,000 year old human skeletons, you know, in this place called Europe, in places you wouldn't imagine, you know, Greece, for instance, you know, France, we refer to as the Western Isles, which would be, you know, Ireland, Scotland, you know, Britain. It was referred to as Greater Britain, finding human skeletons. Poland, you know, Central Europe, Italy, you know, European countries that you think of today that you would never, ever imagine that this skeleton, this skull that they found in Poland, you know, 80,000 years, 100,000 years, 200,000, was that of a black person. You will never imagine that, and it will never give you any indication, no way, no shape, no form, no nothing. So the language, when they speak, you know, they have to say, well, you know, pre-modern Europeans, the first Europeans, the earliest Europeans. Now, if you keep saying that to a crowd of people, you know, to an audience, you speak at a university, right, and this geneticist, you know, this authority, and he goes and speaks, and he gets to talk about, oh, the new discovery, that the jawbone that was found in Sicily, you know, the jawbone that was found in Switzerland, you know, Sweden, you know, particularly, right? And then say, you know, these Europeans who lived during this time and whatnot. In your subconscious, when you're saying European, the only people you can imagine is white people because they're Europeans. In other words, if you say the Africans, know, they found this skeleton in Africa. These Africans during this time, 200,000 years ago, right? First thing come to mind was, shit, these were black people this man talking about. So what he does, he plays this racial geographical thing. And he mixes them. He goes in and out of them, you know, in and out. I just like, you know, black people here geographically, you know, our, you know, place of birth, you know, legal, you know, we're Americans, right? Somebody who's born in France is French. You know, somebody who's born in Germany is, you know, referred to as Germans. But there's black Germans in Germany right now. There's a drink called White Russian. No. Yeah, but there's black Russians in Russia right now. So how did they get there? How did they get there? Now, that questionnaire will be glad to be answered by them, by these, you know, our intellectual enemies, you know. In certain places, they put it on slavery. They put it on the mass transportation of African people around the world, you know, as a result of slavery, you know, during these periods, the so-called the Middle Ages, 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th centuries, you know, in around there, you know. And so it is old. Oh, and then, of course, you know, these are more recent. These are fifth-generation Africans who migrated there, you know, centuries ago for work and what have you and whatnot, you know. And so, you know, so you have nothing there. But the ancient records in Europe, all over, black people possess a particular type of skull structure. You know, if you want to touch the back of your skull, you know, we usually have this knot. Feels like a knot in the back of the skull, this thing that kind of protrudes out where you can put your hand on it. That part of that head is a particular feature to black people. Okay, more times than not. It's not absolute, but 9 out of 10 ain't bad. Okay. Then the jawbone structure, the teeth, the forehead in some instances, the way the jaw protrudes forward, these German terms called prognatism, the protrusion of the jaw, you know, a sloping face. You know, these are particular features to black people exclusively, right? And so in Russia, they found this skull, like 60,000, 80,000-year-old skull in Russia. They found several of them. And this one particular skull possessed this feature, prognatism. That is what it's called, right? And they were blown away. You know, now, some of them are struggling to try to be actually honest about the skull. Okay. Now, the one thing is they fear their reputations. And that, you know, reputations on the line because it's worth a lot of money. Right. So they either way go, they lose. Win-win for us. Right. And so, and to show you how serious, like, the length that Europeans are willing to go. Listen, black people, understand this here. The length that Europeans are willing to go to keep us in the positions that we're in. The sky is the limit. All right. So there's this skull. So they get this, what is it calling them? Like a forensics expert, so-called. You might see it on these shows, what is CSI, what have you, you know, these shows, right? And they get these, or these persons also work on movie sets. Like when they made the movie Alien, you know, somebody had to play, you know, this creature. So, you know, they bring in their person who's a, not necessarily a makeup artist, but the one who molds the, you know, the thing is, and he applies the plaster, whatever you want to call it, on the person. First, they put this certain thing on, and then they get the, they put the stuff on, then they add this stuff on, and it's, you know, like this, you become a monster. All right. They hire those individuals to take the skulls and, oh, let's you know, put a face to it, you know, and show the people this is what he possibly looked. It was a male. This is what he possibly looked like. It was a female in the male. This is what she possibly looked like, right? Okay, they use a computer. You know, they put it on the computer screen, all this technology and what they call the software, right? You know, to tell you what the person looked like, what have you, you know. So these are the type of person that people like National Geographic hire, and some of these other magazines escape my mind. So when it came to this Russian skull, they were forced to give it black features because, like I said, the specific features are just basically exclusive to black people. In other words, this person's skull could have been buried in a cemetery from the 50s in Alabama, and his name would have been James Williams, and James Williams, when he was living, couldn't ride the front of the bus. You had to get on the back of the bus. So this person who lived in Russia 60,000 years ago, 60 to 80,000 years ago, would have had to sit on the back of the bus if they had been living in Jim Crow South America. They would have been called nigger and would have had to sit on the back of the bus. When he would have been born, his mama would have had to write Negro by his so-called racial identification. And so this one so-called expert, they place him over. And here's when the shenanigans get to start. On one end, you know, some of them are reluctant. They're scared. They're actually afraid to actually take. They have an archive of skulls, different people around the world, you know. And so they have many skulls from Africa. And by the way, this Kashia skulls that they possess from Africa came by way of the genocide, the barbarism that was practiced on the Africans in the 18th century, 19th century, and the 20th century, like in the Congo with Leopold, okay, and how the genocide that they practiced, and they were able to accumulate an archive of skulls and stuff like that. They have this science building, right? So, you know, they try to say, okay, let's do a comparative analysis. So they did the comparative. No, that's not it. Has nothing to do with this one. Has nothing to do with the so-called white man. Has nothing to do with the so-called East Asian. And we have to be careful with that. We'll get into that. But lo and behold, the closest skull that it compared to was the so-called Khoisan people. The Khoi and the San people. There's two different groups, S-A-N. The Khoi, K-H-O-I. Khoi, and the San. So they Khoisan people. The Bantu, you know, speaking groups. You know, and this skull that they found in Russia is pretty much brother and sister of the people that you, to give you an idea with it, you know, the people in Southern Africa. So it was obvious. But on the other end, this answer, it resembles, you know, the Bantu people and whatnot, the Pygmy and whatnot. But it actually didn't look like them. This is just an illusion. This is the type of stuff that they're willing to go, the lengths that they're willing to go to, you know, to keep from saying black. So you have Negro, these terms. So to get at least some of it out of the deal, right, they'll say Negroid. Not Negro, Negroid, meaning he was black, but not quite black. He was Negroid. He wasn't a Negro, he was Negroid. So what makes one Negroid and the other one a Negro? That's the trick you have to figure out. Could have been the hair. You know, this is the type of games they play. But that's an example. So the ancient black people that were living in Russia 60,000, 80,000 years ago was black people. Now, there's this other skull, like I said, a couple of more. Now, here's the other side to it, to why I try to, you know, let people look. Do not get addicted to this particular type of facial structure, right? There's no monolithic black race. Bullshit. We are so diverse as black people. It's ridiculous. Incredibly diverse people. Okay. And so the ones that are not prognathous, they figure they can get you there. So they had one another one. It wasn't prognathous. Now they can put some doubt on it and say, well, here's our chance. It's the only chance we got to say that this other skull was Negroid, which gives them room to say that it was a European, that it was a Caucasian. See, that's the trick. This is what they did with those. The tibia, you know, I think it was the lower part of the leg bone, the pelvis, you know. This other term, but the upper body, particular types of formations that African in certain instances, but these were other black people. In other words, what the record just simply said that these were several tribes that lived in Russia. Now, I'm saying this. And they'll be glad to try to refute what I'm saying. And, well, you know, you're misinforming, you know, people, you're amateur, you don't have a degree, you know, you don't, where's your credentials, where's your data, all that type of stuff, you know, you can't be an authority if you don't have the data, you know. But in Ethiopia, India, other parts of the world, the same skeletons they found can be found, facial structure of the people in Eastern Africa. Ethiopia, Eritrea, and Somalia. Black people who have white features, you know, the non-slope face, the straight face, the forehead, you know, the bulging forehead, you know, the straight face. It don't slope, in other words, you see. And that's all that was, you know. So they're trying to, any way that they could. So that's Russia. That's Russia. But if they keep just saying Europeans, these Europeans who live, you know, you would never know. All over the place, Western Europe, you know, like I said, you know, Greater Britain, they found skeletons and skulls. There's a British anthropologist, Arthur Keat, I think is his name. Well, he was considered to be an authority. I mean, he was well-learned. He appears to have been well-learned. He knew the anatomical proportion of different so-called races from the top, the dome of the head, down to the feet, the flat foot, you know, these different types of things. And so you find these skulls, and we kept finding them and finding them and finding them, and he examined them and examined them. So he wrote these books, you know, Early Man and whatever, Antiquity, blah, 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 you know. And then he'd update it, New Researchers in Antiquity, man, shit like that. And in these books, when you read them, he's using these terminologies, and in so many words where he's saying, these are black people. You know, these are black people. All over what they call Greater Britain. You know, black people. You know, in these places you would never, ever think. And down to like 6,000 years ago, you know, down to that later stage in time. You know, the original people, what they call Europe, Western Europe, is black. You know? And even with these ancient writers, so far, you know, like I said, you know, the Europeans have to call it ancient. You know, these guys who wrote 2,000 years ago, to them, that's ancient. You know, it's a drop in the bucket for us. You know? A lot of these, you know, these guys were Roman and Greek, Latin historians, what have you. You know, and there's one where he writes about when he went to what they call Iberia, you know, Iberian Peninsula. This is what would be considered like with Spain. There's a land bridge that connected Northwest Africa to Southwest Europe. You know, at one point, it was a land bridge. And so they know that this is how the original people migrated out of it, through this land bridge. And they went up in there. And so this one particular writer, he's describing these people, these terms and these names of these tribes. And he saw them. And so he described them as un-Greek-like, un-Roman-like. You know, what he was, his way of saying they were not whites. These were dark-skinned people. You know, I'm talking about like the down, you know, like 2,000 years ago and a little less. So they were still there. They were still there. You know, a timeline of the original black people in Western Europe. In Italy, 200,000-year-old skeleton skull. France, you know, they've done so much to try to twist and the information, you know, the word negroid, it just kept popping up, these skulls, you know, with this particular type of sloping faces kept popping up, and they were overwhelmed. They were overwhelmed with it. You know, and Europe is a recent name. This is how they got the name of Europe. In these Greek mythology, you know, we've heard of Hercules and Isis and Apollo, you know, the Apollo theater name in Harlem, you know, Apollo, the so-called Greek gods, you know, Zeus, you know, Hercules, you know. All those were ancient black godheads, gods, the gods. So what they did, change up the names, you know, swap them around and you know, and whatnot. And so they would admit it, yeah, and then snatch it back from you. You know, take it, you know, find the slightest technicality. Oh, look, but it don't have it, so that throws doubts on it. And the way that they use the science and their finest, and you got to remember, Greek, so-called Greek philosophy, the art of bullshit, the art of persuasion that they use in the courtroom, you know. Johnny Cochran beat him over there. Don't fit, gotta acquit. you know what I'm saying? A lot of us believe that, yeah, that nigga killed her. Yeah, he killed her. Shit, yeah, he fucking killed her. Killed a bitch, you know. But, you know, this is the type of stuff they do. So they twist it, you know, this Arthur Keith dude. I mean, he was honest enough. He's honest enough, you know. I know you kind of like, man, you know, he must have had a crucial meltdown to admit these things. You know, to admit these things, you know. And but yeah, so Europe, in the Greek mythology, there was a daughter. Her name was Europa. Okay. And Europa had a father. Who was the king of the Phoenicians, okay? Now, this is where the scripture comes in, Table of Nations in Genesis chapter 10. This is what goes back. The Phoenicians were the descendants of the Canaanites, and we know that the word Canaan is in the Bible, the Table of Nations. Canaan was one of the sons of, who was it? Canaan is one of the sons of, okay, it's Ham, Cush, all right. One of the sons, right? Canaan. From whence the Phoenicians derived, with, you know, as a descent. So Europa was a Phoenician, right? So Zeus kidnaps Europa and brings her west, kidnaps her. He disguised himself like a cow or something like that. It was something that he did, a bull or something. And he kidnapped Europa and brought her west. So her brothers go looking for her on a voyage. She was brought there and settled in her posterity, and that's how the continent became named Europa after her, a black goddess. A black goddess. Europe is named after a black goddess. And you just go back. Europa's father, Aegina had a brother. His brother was the you know, they were brothers, and their father, their ancestor fought, was Cain. Okay, you look in the Bible, and Canaan had a brother. It was one of the sons of Ham, if not mistaken. Canaan, Mizraim, Put, and Cush. Yeah, the four sons of Ham. Now, Ham was the father of the Africans. This is what Genesis says, not me. Okay, Ham was a black man. So he had four black sons, and one of those sons was Canaan. One of Canaan's descendants was Europa. And her father, Grandpa, they settled the region of Phoenicia. This is now modern day what's called Lebanon, Palestine, Syria, Beirut, Jordan, the west coast of Asia along the Mediterranean, you know, what they call the Levant, right? So this is where her ancestral bloodline leads back to. And she was kidnapped and taken west. Now, what was the name of Europe before? It was Western Asia. It was Western Asia. So what they call West Asia today is just no more than just Central Asia. And what's called Europe today was West Asia. From West Europe to East, what they call Asia today, you know, Japan, China, was Asia. Asia Major, Asia Minor, whatever you want to call it. Right? And that's how Europe got its name. And the original black people that migrated there, they were black. Now, the Greeks had a term for dark-skinned people. It was called Ethiopians. And the word Ethiopian is just a word which means something like burnt face, black skin, black face, dark skin, because of the, they believed that the Greeks believed that the sun, you know, effects of the sun, you know, they ended up burned. You know, they were dark-skinned, and the sun just, you know, just really, you know, added on, you know, the burnt face people, the blacks, the Ethiopians, Ethiops. If you had an eye problem, you know, you go see an ophthalmologist. So the back of that word, Ethiops, is the word for eye, ops, optical illusion, ophthalmologist, you know that. So the eye is part of the face, so that was the word for face. So the black face people. And that's how that word Ethiops and was translated over to when they saw the people to the south and east of them. When they went, some of those who so-called traveled to Africa, they saw these dark-skinned people. And so everywhere they went, they seen dark people, and they called them Ethiopians. Okay? When they went to what is now known as Iran, Iraq, right next to, you know, those countries that I named, you know, that whole region, the whole region, there was no honkies there. And no Europeans, crackers, none of that. And before that, the older skeletons, they found in what they call Israel today, what they call Israel today, skeletons, 200,000 years old, 300,000 years old, 60,000, 50,000, all of them black people. And most of those skulls had that trait again. I've seen photos of them. I've seen photos. You know, and it's beautiful. And you see the type of culture that they possessed 300,000 years ago. In what's now what's called Israel today, the original Israel people that lived were black people in those regions. From the top of hither Asia, these terms that they use, you know, the top of what's now Western Asia today, Turkey, Anatolia. You know, as we speak now, there's this whole region, this whole, like, cities or whatever. They've dug up shit. They were buried 20, 30, 40, 50 feet in the ground. Whole buildings. You know, yeah, we'd be dazzled when we go drive through the suburbs and see the white folks living in their big mansions, how exquisitely bricked. You know, the mansions are, you know, mortar and brick, and, you know, we're dazzled by that. Well, they found the Europeans didn't invent that, the Johnny come latest. And so they found these cities. They say these cities is like 10,000, 15,000 years old, you know? And it was black people in Turkey. And that's West Asia, what they call West Asia today. But like I said, in Greece, you know, France, they found a lot of material in France, right? And Cheikh Anta Diop As a matter of fact, in his Civilization and Barbarism book, in the African Order and Civilization, for anybody who interests anybody, get those books. You know, we had the Black University, the Black College, the History HBCUs. Okay, somebody need to make a phone call and say, well, that Civilization and Barbarism book need to be in the class, and it need to be a recommended book in order to be able to get your degree. You know, they recommend the math book, world history book. You can't get that degree with, you know, you got these are required. These are, you know, what they call them, requirements, you know, it's in order to meet your, to meet the standards of you know, I go, right? Yeah, Civilization Barber is a science book. It's a historical book, multifaceted book. It should be in our schools, in our elementary schools, like the Black Panther Party talked about. You know, but he deals with it, you know. As a matter of fact, in his books, he has actual photos or pictures of the skulls that they found in France. You know, they had that same particular feature. And these white boys was having trouble with it. The word Negro, they struggled with that. These French dudes found the skull and they just, they was honest enough. You know, it's going to be one or two up. And it's Negro, the tibia, this, that, you know, you know. You know, the blacks, the pygmies in southern, in the Congo, you know. Yeah, I mean, they're admitting it. And now these modern day ones, they come on and just try to demolish everything. Well, first of all, this skull was smashed when he found it, and he must have pieced it back together. So there's no way they can tell that the skull was probably, I mean, an array of tactics. I'm talking about anybody who wants to be master the art of bullshit for the future, and you want to go to college, take philosophy. Take a philosophy class. Take a philosophy class. You know, now that may be some bad information, bad influence. But yeah, being honest, you know. So, you know, they call themselves trying to refute these skulls. And then if that didn't work, where they shrunk down the age, oh well, the previous test, you know, those were faulty tests. Those skulls are not as old as they claimed were. They're only 6,000. So they'd have made them shrink down from 30,000 to 6,000. Now the 30,000 to 6,000 makes a difference because now we're talking about Europeans trying to get into the picture. So if they could shrink this particular skull's age down from 30 to 6, then that gives the white boy a chance of being older. Oh, look, what we know as Europeans, whites, they were there, and they beat them there. This is what they're willing to do. But they'll make you forget about the skeletons that's older than them now. You know, so that's Western Europe, France, these names. They give these the Grimaldi man found in an Italian cave, you know, the Prince of Monaco, Monaco, you know, he, Prince Albert or whoever, he had this obsession, you know, with this skulls and anthropology. And so they named it after the, you know, the Grimaldi family and all these rich so-called black nobility families who run shit right here in America, right? And so these names, the Grimaldi man and all whatnot, you know. And like I said, in Greece, Poland, Russia, Czechoslovakia, you know, Central Europe, Eastern Europe, Hungary, all over, these human skeletons, black people, no Europeans in sight, no pale skins in sight. Now, the question is, well, how did where did the pale skin European come from? Now, there's these theories, Nation of Islam got one. Everybody's got one, you know. But at what point did they actually pop up on the earth? So you know what they do? They're now they're trying to study skin. They're trying to study things like vitamin D, vitamin C, ultraviolet rays, which has something to do with they can, you know, penetrate and understand skin cancer. Who more times than not catches skin cancer? The Europeans, of course, and the Africans, of course, possessing the melanin, which serves as an automatic sunblock. The Europeans got to manufacture it in the lotion and put it on, you know, things like this. This is deep shit, you know. But that don't mean black people can't catch skin cancer. But you just more times than not, the Europeans, you know, catch skin cancer because they lack certain amounts of melanin and whatnot, right? The evidence they try to, like I said, if it's 100, yeah, one of them, you know, and then honest enough to say, well, yeah, it's kind of problematic to try to place white people that we know today back in those times, yeah. So it's really terribly sketchy, you know. So they only get clear when they get around between 8,000 and 6,000 years ago. That's when they really get clear. 8,000 is pushing. It's still a little, it's a little less sketchier, you know, 8,000 years ago. But 6, they sure. Now you start seeing these scars, particular type of scars showing up that appears to match Europeans. Now there's a group, Switzerland, these northern countries, where Kim Kardashian's family from, you know, they're North European family. I forget the name, but there's some long haired whites, you know, some long haired whites, and they appear to be the evidence of the genetic, some type of genetic deficiency or something that took place. You know, but we know that the original was there. They were no pale skins. You know, so this is Europe, you know, on down into what they want to refer to as civilization now, you know, like they had their own definition of what they want to use to be. The Neanderthal man, you go to any, look in any archaeology magazine when they deal with it, and they'll portray the Europe. He's got to look white. It's impossible. They cannot, you know, let him look black. And they'll give him a suntan. Now, there's been one or two, and, this, you know, black people, like, you know, they celebrated like Obama when he became president. They celebrated, you know, they were, I mean, this, we've been so starved for that. You know, like people, you know, Black Panther, you know, Wakanda, you know, forever. You know, we've been so starved for a positive black image in history, you know. And we'll settle for anything, you know. After so many decades of white images, white Santa Claus, white Jesus, white Moses, white Pharaoh, white Queen Elizabeth, Nefertiti, white every damn thing, you know. Cleopatra was white, everybody, right? And it's a psychological effect that it has on the people, you know what I'm saying? And so, so when they take these skulls, these so-called Neanderthal types, and they have to make them white. But if you take the same ones, you place them back in Africa around, you know, the same time, 200, they'll get their little person, you know, that could do the makeup and make them look black. Now, if he has a wide nose, if he has this particular nose socket, too, that's exclusively, you know, pretty much black people with the wide nose socket, right? They'll take that and they force to make the, pretty much the nose structure wide, but they'll, you know, where the nostrils flare, they'll take that away. They'll take that away, you know, to alter it, you know. So the question is, when do the Europeans come? There's these ages, you know, 15,000, 10,000, and they give these names, you know, they find these skulls, and this stuff is buried like, we're talking like 50 foot over thousands of years. The formation of the earth is way different. You know, when the Europeans went to Africa and they saw the Sphinx, okay, the French, the guy wrote that the Sphinx is a phenomenal creation. The head is sticking out of the sand. You know, so when they went, the Sphinx was covered in sand. It was, you know, buried in sand. The only thing that was sticking out was the head. And so what did they do? They were able to clear it. And it took them a while to dig this Sphinx. I'm talking about the amount of foot, something like, 75 foot, 80 foot, something like that. You know, and it's a huge structure. But when they found it, only the head was sticking up. So what did they tell you about the formation of the earth that changed over thousands of years? You know what I'm saying? And so we had to take that into consideration. And so this is why they found it. Monuments buried down in the dirt. So they're using science and technology. Now they have satellites, you know, that they're going in tandem with archaeologists, you know, and they're able to use this piercing, like, you know, infrared and beams and shit. And so, oh, look, we found a monument buried 50 feet, a city buried 50 feet in the desert, in the Sahara, in the, you know, in Arabia. You know, and they go digging, you know. And they, oh, wow, this shit is 10,000 years old. Well, who did it? It was a mystery. These unknown people. You know? No, they're unknown to you because you weren't around back then. You know? And so moving in the West Asia, there's two routes. You know, the Northwest Africa route up into what they call Europe, and then the over route from what they now call West Asia, from east to west, and they migrated on up, you know, what they refer to as Europe. And they're scattered, like I said, in Israel, you know, Syria, Lebanon, you know, they're finding these skulls in these caves, you know, 80,000, 90,000, 100,000, 200,000. And every so they find another one. And then this contradicts this story here. So they got to rewrite the book. They got to rewrite the and every now and then they just find some shit, say, oh, the oldest, and then they find, oh, they got to rewrite the book. So they're going to keep doing that. They're going to keep doing it. But the further you go back, the blacker it gets. The blacker and the blacker and blacker and blacker. You start realizing the blacker, there's nobody around but black and brown people. Heavily melanated people. There's no pale skins on this earth. Nowhere on this planet. Now, some may be familiar with Nation of Islam and Elijah Muhammad and his teachings, you know, black man and being original. He, you know, some people refer to him as the lamb. I knew this elder, you know, used to get down with us. You know, he'd say he was influenced, you know, by the name, so he's called him the lamb, you know. And, of course, you know, this belief, you know, this similarity between Elijah Muhammad and you know, Jesus. You know, they call Jesus the lamb. John the Baptist thought he called, behold, the lamb, you know. That's on religious, you know, their psychology, right? The Quran and prophecy and whatnot, right? But you know, they you know, Elijah Muhammad, he would touch on that, you know, that the white man is just a baby, you know, and of course their version, their story of how the white man come about through a black scientist named Yaku, you know, who actually perform these what do I want to call them? Sort of group pairing, you know, mating, you know, certain types we wanted to produce the pale skin ones, you know, weeded off the more melanin groups until he, because of the unpredictableness of the genetic structure between the black woman, you know, and the black man. You know, you will make the lighter and the lighter and lighter until you just got the pale-skinned white man on the island of Palani where they took him and they brought him, you know, to the caves and all this kind of shit, you know. Now, that theoretically, mathematically, it is possible. You take a group of people on the island, 60,000. The number six just keeps popping up, right? 60,000 years ago, and they took them there, and they're 6,000 years. You know, the number six or something just keeps popping up in their teachers and their psychology, right? 666 and all this kind of shit, you know. Of course, you know, Lucifer, the devil, and all that kind of shit, right? Well, anyway, you know, he spoke about that. You know, he was able to teach the brothers, the original man, an Asiatic black man, Rakim Allah, you know, greatest MC of all time. You know, we go back and listen to some of his music where he rapped, you know, about, you know, black original Asiatic man and whatnot, you know, being what's referred to as a 5%, a Clarence 13X, you know, these brothers studied, you know, this 360, you know, knowledge and, you know, 360 degrees of knowledge and whatnot, you know, to the rich. So nothing new. But yeah, had to go off to those brothers, you know, for waking some of us up. But so you have West Asia, right next door, you know, Iran, Iraq, same thing. And on down into this period, right, 35,000, 40,000, right? Now we get to talk about the later stages of our existence, you know, what the white man wants to call ancient civilizations, okay? In Europe, they went to digging on some island called Crete, you know, which you know, jurisdiction-wise is in the Greek sphere of geography, what have you. So it's referred to as a Greek island, even though it's off in the Mediterranean, this other sea, right? It ain't like it's a stone's throw from Greek mainland. You know, you got to get on them, you know, and you know, take a nice voyage there, you know, to get there by ship or what have you, you know, airplane or something, right? And so they go on this island in the creek and they find these monuments, shit like 4,000 years old. So ancient Greek, so they place it under ancient Greek civilization, right? Okay, so the oldest Greek civilization is Crete. And then mainland Greece and whatnot, what have you. The Mycenaean civilization, the Mycenaean culture. There's been some movies that was made about the Mycenaeans, whatnot, you know. But Crete, right? So they get to finding the skeletons and whatnot. Now, here's the problem. You know, here's the problem. You start talking about the problem, right? There were monuments that were still up. And they go inside. And they see actual, like the shit you see, those of us who have seen pictures, photos inside the monuments in Kemet, you know, scenes of people, you know, performing rituals, working and what, you know, level, you know, dark brown skin, yes, reddish brown skin, whatnot, you know. Okay, so when they went into these, they believed that the way they were structured, these must have been where royalty lived, so obviously palaces, right? And so they go inside deep and they go into some of these rooms and they see these paintings on the wall. And boom, here you see dark brown skinned people portrayed on the wall. So they had this, okay, well, look, all right, we going to show the world this, then we got to see the motherfuckers as suntans. We got to see they as suntans. We can't say these were black people. We can't, we just not do it. We cannot. They were suntan Greeks. I mean, after all, then they'll say, oh, well, look, you can go to Greece today and see, you know, suntan Greeks, and we'll have this, you know, melanin. Yeah, literally to try to explain away why these people portrayed in these minds and they had dark brown skin. And you may see a few little inklings of whites in there, pale skin, like, you know, yellowish, like complexion. It's like, you know, like I say, you know, 4,000 years ago, you know. So at that point, yeah, now the Europeans, oh, look, that's us. Look, that's us. Now it becomes a little clearer. But the overall Cretan civilization was built by non-whites, black people. There's these images of the artist portrayed of the seamen going out in these big old ships, you know, on the seas, you know, like, you know, like, you know, they appear to be like protecting, you know, their you know, their society and going out, what have you, you know. And there's a whole host of them there. And they all got dark brown skin and, like, curly hair. You know, listen, black people, you know, don't just have this thing about some woolly hair. You know, that ain't just, you know, that ain't just black people. That's been something that the Europeans had to use to justify enslaving black people. You know, snatch their history from them and then to be able to treat them like shit. The Negroes didn't build anything. It was Negro people. They were Negroes so that could give them excuse legitimacy in their minds first. So they see these portraits and they have these museums, right? They do these displays and shit, you know, and they be slow to show you these images, even the books that they publish about ancient Cretan civilization, right? The Minoan civilization, King Minos, you know, the half bull, half man, the Minotaur, you know, shit like, right? The legend of the Minotaur, the beast that was kept in the labyrinth and shit, you know, the little labyrinth when you go in one side and try to figure out how to get out, it twists and turns and go back and forth and you come through a wall and you're trapped. You got to turn back around and go this way and trying to get out. You know, they do some of this shit like some of these games that they play now, you know, who can get out and all this kind of shit, whatever. And there's a labyrinth, the legend about the labyrinth, and King Minos had this pet, this bull, you know, that's the King Minos, you know. These are black legends, black kings. But they'd be slow to show you these images of these seamen, you know, rowing boats, you know, dark brown skin. There's another one where they're actually practicing what they believe is ballet, you know, flipping and twisting and turning, capoeira, you know, stuff like that, right? You know, acrobatics. There's scenes, and you see these dark-skinned, curly-haired people, some of them got long curly, doing these scenes. And you see the physical bodily contours. And ain't but one group of people that you know that's shaped like that, black men. The contours, you know, you had to bet, you man, these Africans that you see today, you know, still in the heat, wearing the, you know, just, you know, the mid covering, you know. And this is what they found on this island, you know, the Cretan island. And this is a civilization. Fourth island. They found appeared to be hieroglyphics, you know, picture writing, etched in stone and carved. And the language is not Greek. It's not European. But they're still trying to make it fit in there. But, they're not able to do it. Right? And so it's a mystery. This Greek, you know, still a mystery. So they're going to keep doing it. And you have to leave it at that. You have to leave it at that and just keep leaving it at that. You know, we're winding down. And we're going to come back. I'm just heating up. You know, fearless is necessary, you know, to do a piece like this, you know, take us back, ancient civilization, you know, black people, you know, around the world and what we've been, and you know, the facts. This is no made up story. This is no fantasy on my part. You know, it's all there. And so you want to hire some of black people, put in the book and put in the library. We're not gonna go get that shit. We'll go get Jet. Brothers gonna go get Jet. The sisters might go get what? Ebony Man or whatever, you know, Essence. The sisters gonna go get Essence, you know, magazine, you know, right? Brothers who wanna be business inclined, they're gonna go get Black Enterprise magazine and so forth. You know. So would it be a bad idea, Black Enterprise magazine, do a piece on what we're talking about tonight? Would it be a bad idea if Jet did a piece on what we're talking about tonight? Would it be a bad idea if Essence do a piece on what we're talking about? As a matter of fact, when Essence come to New Orleans, would it be a bad idea for them to set up a display inside the convention center and have a room and display these paintings that they found in Crete of black people so young people could come up in there and see? Would that be a bad idea? The sky's the limit, you know. But we're going to come back. We're going to visit this. Hopefully I can remember where I left off at. We got a few minutes. But just to finish up on the Cretan day, this white appeared to be a fair-minded archaeologist named Heinrich Sleeman or something like that. It was two of them, Arthur Evans and Heinrich Sleeman. So, they went there. One of them, Arthur Evans, he went there, and he saw these things, and he's using this comparative process, you know, some of the stuff he's able to understand. And the things that he saw that he dug up, it reminded him of the stuff that had been on record in Kemet. And he said these hieroglyphics resembled the picture writing in Kemet. And so they had to, obviously, these people in Crete had the same idea of recording that the people in Kemet had. And this is Arthur Evans, the fair-minded European. You know, he had become famous. You know, he had become famous as a result of his discoveries in Crete. He wrote these books or whatever, discoveries in Crete, whatever, something like that. You know, in the field of archaeology that deals with ancient Greek civilization in the universities today. You know, when this, you know, this instructor or professor, whoever, who had all these titles, you know they get the school of so-and-so, it is that he's the dean of the school of Arthur Evans and blah, 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 shit like that, right? You know, they'll mention Arthur Evans, you know, when he start teaching you about ancient Cretans, they'll mention Arthur Evans, stuff like that. We'll get on the legendary Troy. You know, they made the movie, Brad Pitt, I believe, starting the movie Troy. They show you the Trojan War. These are white people. These are white people, but they don't. Hollywood is you know, supposed to be fair. It ain't like it was back in the day. Made this old racist movie. No, yeah, they made this movie, and they left out the key chief figures in the movie that went and rescued them from being attacked. And we're gonna pick up there. We're gonna start with that next week. So we got a couple of minutes left. For those who are listening. you know, want to thank you for listening, taking the time out, to mess with us, so to speak. And we say, you know, stay tuned for part two next week, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern time in Defense of the People Radio. We mean that in every sense of the word. It's not an abstract. We mean that wholeheartedly, unapologetically, because without the people, we can't be who we want to be, you know. So I'm your co-host, Brother Nat, Chairman Nat, People's Political Party, and I'm my co-host, Brother Motherland, our National Minister of Defense, and our assault technician on the ones and twos, our sister Queen, warrioress, warrior, Sister Amina Oshun, who we love to death. You know what I'm saying? And on that note, we say black power, all power to the people. We out here.